Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio, past, present, and future, also including all other talk radio programs that will ever or have ever existed. I'm Kara Kittrick, and I'm joined today by Chauncey Haworth, who is the host of this program and the creator of Radio Wasteland, here to talk about Christmas, blackface, and a short story he wrote called Black Pete, as well as all manner of Scandinavian Christmas legends. Chauncey, what are we talking about here?
Well, thanks for having me on, Kara.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other guest canceled at the last minute, so we thought, you know, let's bring in the guy who runs the program.
Who do we got around here we can huck a stick at?
Yeah, let's get Chauncey. Hopefully our listeners will forgive us.
Well, I'm basically, I think there's a big crossover between horror movie fans and paranormal. That's how I got into paranormal, was I'm first and foremost a horror fan. And
oh, you're a horror movie fan.
Yes. And, you know, Christmas has always been my second favorite holiday because it's so dark and creepy. There's
behind
so much
Halloween.
Dark and creepy history to it. And I don't think most people know that. More people know that today than used to, but and a lot of that has been stemmed from this kind of like paranormal thing, but I don't think people realize the dark and creepy history that's like also beyond the evil characters or the followers of Saint Nicholas and stuff like that. You know, like ghost stories were always a part of it, and trick or treating was a part of it. You know, there was a lot to Christmas that's dark, and I like dark stuff.
Yeah. Well, so the story itself is basically, let me see if I have this right, the story of a child living in a very old-fashioned town that has its own idiosyncratic sort of Christmas legends, and their parents warn them about Black Pete might, you know, come to get them if they don't sort of shape up with their Christmas behavior. And in the end, this monstrous black-skinned being with, like, sharp teeth does, in fact, come and get him. He narrowly escapes the demon that Santa sends to punish bad kids. Is that about the size of it?
Yeah. It's pretty much Santa and a bunch of demons. Because one of the, like, there are a lot of different you know, these are isolated towns, and, you know, it's cold
here,
so they're doubly isolated, you know.
Once you don't go trekking around, you know, I'm going to see what the town up there does for Christmas.
Right,
no,
right.
You're staying put, and you're not opening the door.
Yeah, if you're visiting, you live there now.
Yeah.
And one of these is that Santa enslaved demons and uses the demons that he's enslaved to help him bring all the joy to the world as their kind of penance or whatever. So that was the part where they're all these, you know, demons. So they all kind of have a similar look because they are all demons. But that's where I pulled that from. And I thought that was a really cool sort of way of putting it. Because over the years, as I heard of Krampus and stuff like that, I'm all, why is Santa such a nice guy? Why is he hanging out with this guy? He's obviously a jerk, you know,
right.
So it's like.
He's got horns.
Right. So I felt the enslaved thing really sort of.
Yeah, that's some deep Christmas folklore. Now so we're talking about Scandinavian legends here, right?
For the most part.
This idea of Santa enslaving demons, when and where does that come from?
Most of these come from Germany and Austria.
Okay. So it's not even Scandinavian. It's like.
Right. But some of them span out, you know, and I can't pretend to be,
Northwestern.
You know, an expert on it. I basically, there was a reason behind doing this. And so as I, let me explain why I don't. There was a reason behind doing this. I decided I wanted to write this story because I loved all these things. And in looking at it, every time I'd look at it, a very common character was Black Pete. And every time I came to Black Pete, I'm just all, man, this guy's a little shady. I'm not sure I want to have anything to do with this story.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason being that Black Pete traditionally in these towns is played by a person in blackface.
Oh.
Right. And yeah. So I would look at these and it was all just so cool, so cool. I'm just, oh man, this is like imagination heaven. And then there's always the guy there going, hey, I'm in blackface. And I'm just all like, oh, I don't know about all this.
You know? Right. So you're loving the sort of weird, wacky, occult Christmas horror. And then bam, you're hit with a dose of blackface.
Right. Yeah. Like, who wants to be the blackface guy? Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody does.
What's so you decided to write a short story.
Okay, there's a reason. you know, as you read more into the character of Black Pete, it was like in the 18th century or 1800s that he was first portrayed as a black Moor.
Mm.
Prior to that, he was never portrayed as anything other than like a black-skinned, like demon servant of St. Nicholas. And so from like the 1850s on, he's been portrayed as somebody as a black person by white people in blackface, but his history goes back a little further.
I was actually wondering if that was probably the case. Cause I happen to know in a lot of like older Scandinavian legends of like the Draugr, which are these undead who live in like basically burial mounds and attack anyone who comes in and like, attack nearby villages, are thought to have blue or black skin.
Mm.
And this is a much older legend than, like, the slave trade. This is, like, a legend from, you know, the 1100s or something.
Right.
So I wondered if it was maybe that. But it sounds like what you're saying is, like, these were sort of Norse folklores of just a black-skinned monster that later became racialized because people were like, hey, black skin, we're horrible. We can run with that.
You know, because, I mean, they live in, you know, isolated mountain towns of white folk. And probably when they found out that black folk existed, you know, there was probably some tie in their folklore for. And, you know, that's easy to say that like your average Joe who's working at the grocery store or whatever goes like, oh, black people exist. Well, this must be, that's probably not how it really happened. How it really happened was, it was a specific writer rewrote the tale with illustrations of him as a black Moor. And so now that gets around and that changes everything. So I look at it and I go, man, I just hate this. Every time I see this, it ruins my imagination train. So, I was glad because basically for like the last 10 years, I do this. I read into it every Christmas because I love it so much. And this time I finally read deep enough, in the Black Pete where there was history beyond that. And, I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm not going to let people being stupid ruin this for me. And I'm going to attack this head on and I'm going to rewrite this. Other people rewrote this tale into something that I don't like, so I'm going to rewrite this tale into something I do like.
He is not an Arab. He is a frostbite-skinned demon, and I demand that he be treated as such.
Yeah. And although I like that take, I didn't realize that take the frostbite.
Yeah, well, that's where it came from, is these, you know, really cold bodies that will end up looking sort of blue or purplish or even kind of black in death is why Draugr were portrayed as being black. And to be fair, like, the Vikings knew black people exist. Like, the Vikings had extensive...
Yeah, they had boats. They weren't in the Alpine Mountains.
Right, yeah, they had extensive contact with people in Africa, the Middle East, whatever. There were even, like, black Vikings. But this is ideas of race, like, the ideas of, like, black and white is kind of developed later. This was just, spooky frostbite, of course.
Right.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
You know, so as I did that, this is a little off topic here, but this is, you know, I'm curious about people's thought about this. For one, I was like a little nervous.
Sure.
You know, to write this, because, you know, I don't want people thinking like I'm okay with mocking, you know, other people or something. I mean, I mock my family, but that's about it.
It sounds like you kind of wrote this for you.
I did. Definitely wrote it for me, but it did get me to thinking about the character Black Pete. And so in a lot of these towns, apparently, there's a big pushback trying to get rid of this character.
Right.
But there's whole holidays of this character coming through the streets and throwing candy to the kids, and they all love it and everything. And I was thinking, like, now this is a totally potentially shady thing to say, so correct me if I'm overstepping, but I think it sucks that all that fun would be taken away because people were jerks. So
yeah.
It's like, I like the idea of it was rewritten to become something terrible. So rewrite it to become something not, you
right.
know, and
I'm kind of two minds, but like, I agree. I think it's sad if like, this is a legend that goes back, you know, much longer than like colonialism and European slavery and stuff. I think it would be sad if we couldn't find some way to like, I don't know, make it not just a racial caricature, but I can also
rewrite
see
it into a deer monster if you want.
Yeah.
Rewrite it into a giant ladybug or a
right, you know, yeah,
whatever. Yeah. I don't care. That all the kids care about is that some character is going to come running through the streets throwing them candy. That's right. The part that you don't want to ruin.
No,
you know, that's really the part that I'm moving on to. Now, the other one was done just for me. Black Pete is done just for me because I want demons. I like demons. What am I going to do? Yeah. You know, but as far as like the celebrations demons in these places, they're trying to cancel it and put an end to it. And I would like to see them claim it and get a different character in there and keep hucking candy at kids, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to cancel it just cause you know, the taste that's going to leave in people's mouth is, oh, we can't have our holiday anymore because of political correctness gone amok. And it's like, no, that's right. Not really what's going on. I think there's a way to do this that's more deft, but who knows? And neither of us are, you know, German. I'm pretty ignorant about all of this. So, you know, maybe there's more to it than that, but that's kind of my take with what little I know.
Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, all of the world was created by somebody's idea. You know, if you're a believer in God, God did not decree that every corner must have a stop and sip. You know, basically society
sure?
was created by humans. A lot of this crappy stuff, if you don't like it, you can just change it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, make it something better. You know, it was created that way by some jerk. Now you can come in and be a not jerk. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't use that for your stupid Halloween costumes. That's not what I'm saying.
God. Yeah.
But, you know, Black Pete is only one of the characters in it. So Santa, in a lot
right.
of these places, going across all these places, typically has 1 to 4 traveling companions.
Wow.
And, you know, so I chose 4, four companions of St. Nicholas to use in the story. Black Pete is
that. Old Man Whipper.
Old Man Whipper. Yeah. Is, and Belsnickel and Black Pete.
Right.
And, Old Man Whipper is one of the variations.
Like the Beatles.
Is one of the variations of Krampus, you know, so. You know, Krampus is a big demon with a wicker basket and a and a stick. You know, some places have multiple Krampuses. I mean, all the way over to Russia, they have Baba Yaga flying around in a basket using a broom as a steering rudder to huck kids in. There's a lot of variations of them. Old Man Whipper is just one of them. And I just liked him because he just had a long sticking out tongue. And, I felt if I went with Krampus, that was probably a little much coming out of the gate.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know there were any of these characters in the first place. I've heard of Krampus, sure.
Right.
Never heard of any of these other guys.
Oh, really?
Is this like a common... How widespread was this idea of Santa with, like, this entourage? Was this just a German thing? Was this all over Europe?
Throughout all the Scandinavian alpine countries.
Weird.
Yeah. It gets weird in some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets really weird in some of them. Like my Belsnickel. Belsnickel more common. So have you ever seen, like, pictures of Santa Claus, and there's Santa in all his gold robes and red, right?
Sure.
And next to him is another bearded old man in like just a drab robe.
I haven't actually seen that, but you said it with a lot of confidence.
Okay. So that's one of them. There tends to be the royalty Santa, the sort of humble peasant Santa that's his servant, you know, mm-hmm. and then the baddie that comes along for the bad kids, and then the watcher. So here we have Black Pete watching, and then Belsnickel sort of decides. Now, Belsnickel and Old Man Whipper, okay, there is a lot here. So Belsnickel more commonly is displayed as like a mountain man with a beard covered in furs and stuff like that. And he, in my story and in several of them, makes the choosing. He's sort of the naughty nice list tracker.
Sure.
Right. In some stories, he's also the bad guy. He's also the Krampus figure. Cause remember, we're dealing with anywhere from two to four. So it can be spread out.
Right.
But in some cultures, Belsnickel is dressed as a woman for some reason.
Okay. But so, he's a guy who is dressed as a woman?
Yeah.
So Belsnickel's just in drag?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Right. So I went with that one. So you got it, right. Yeah. I imagine him as being a solid black demon like Black Pete, but sure. Wearing the gold dress from Belle at Beauty and the Beast. You know, this is what I imagined him. And so Black Pete basically reports to Belsnickel, again, a real character who comes through and picks. And there's several ways that Belsnickel would pick. And one is, you know, he's got a switch and he would tap on the windows of the bad kids. You know,
What does that do?
You know, all of this comes from something. You know, it's some like drunk ass jerk of a dad who started this. He went outside his kids' windows and tapped on there and thought it was real funny and traumatized his whole family, which spread for generations.
I believe that.
Where was I?
Okay, Belsnickel.
There's a couple of ways. One is like the good kids would get a bundle of sticks painted gold, and the bad kids would get like a single stick painted silver.
Okay. Silver's
so you
still
knew you were
good.
Bad at that point. And you knew that Old Man Whipper might be coming for you.
Now, was Old Man Whipper called that because he, like, whipped bad kids?
Yeah.
Or was that just his name? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he whipped him with a stick.
So that's more like a title. Like, his name was probably just John or something.
He has a name, and it's French, and I don't think I could pronounce
it. That's valid, frankly.
Knight... It stands for Knight something, but again, all of these characters cross over drastically from place to place. Like, so what I'm calling the scribblers in there, those are another one. So my dad's boyfriend growing up was from Germany, and I asked him, hey, did you guys have Krampus where you guys are from? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we have like a lot of little Krampuses. So in his town, they would dress up all in black, the little kids, and they would run through the town sort of teasing, the adults. And they were all in blackface. And he said that it was soot, supposed to be soot, but you know, was it though? You know, was it? So there's a lot of this, going on in these mountain towns and it's, you know, to bring it back around to blackface, I guess. But, there is a lot of this going on in these mountain towns, but there's also a lot of people pushing back, trying to get rid of it in a lot of these cases.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Right,
exactly. Did I ever tell you that I used to work at a call center?
No, I didn't know that.
I worked at a call center for about 4 hours.
That seems about right.
Right. So I'm working at Bog Bean in Reading, and my boss fires me on my birthday, and I have a 2-week-old baby.
So you need a job real quick.
I'm friends with my boss. I probably deserve to be fired. I don't remember what the situation is, but I probably deserve it. So Here I
this
am.
This was when you were like 20 or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I 24. I had a heart rate. 24.
Yeah.
So, I need a job. I need to take care of my family. You know, my kid's mom at the time, she ain't working. Plus, she just had a baby 2 weeks ago, you know.
Makes sense.
So I go get this job at a call center, and I tell my family, pick up my baby. I'm just all, daddy's going to work at the call center to put food in your mouth because I love you so much. You know, I hate it, but I'm going to do it. And like, it filled me with such anxiety, the idea of calling people in this situation. And so I get in there and, you know, it's one of those guys who's just all like, hey guys, what's going on? Let's work this team together, blah, blah, blah. One of those guys.
Oh God.
And like, he just does not see me as a person at all. He just sees a person to make the call. So I get sit down with the script and everything. And I'm sitting there and I have such anxiety about this. And it's not even like I'm better than this. It's like, although there was some of that in there, but I couldn't even get to that.
I am worse than this
because I had such anxiety about even doing it.
Support or were you cold calling people to sell them?
Cold calls. So yeah.
Yeah. Surveys are a little better than that because at least you're not asking for money.
Right. Yeah. You at least are on an there's some sort of level of thought that goes into it. But okay. So I call the first person. They answer the phone and I click and hang up, right? Because I'm all, oh, God, they answered.
I did that the first time at the call center. Yeah.
And then I called the next one.
I was a legend. But.
And I call the next one, and I'm all, hello. I do want to hear about it if you're a legend. Call the next one, and I'm all like, hello. And they say something, and click. I hang up on them again. And, like, I can't complete a call. I'm, like, too freaked out. I can't complete a call. And I'm,
did
like...
Did they train you at all? Did they...
I don't even remember. But when I get really stressed out, I literally see spots. Like, like floaters. Like my eyes are filled with floaters. And, like, I'm just all, like, overexposed. And so I get up and I go walk into the back of the office and... Dan or Chaz or whatever his name. It's just all, hey, Chauncey, what's going on? How's it going? It's just all, you going to use the bathroom? We're doing a good thing here today. And I have the door and I just slowly close the door in his face as he's talking to me. And I walk out to my car and I drive home and I pick up my daughter and I start crying, telling her about how daddy didn't love her enough to work the job.
God. That's like a scene from Office Space.
Yeah.
The just closing the door. That's like that scene.
It was
really
just slow motion in his face. Like, and it wasn't like it was me like trying to fight it. I'm trying to fight it, but it's like, no, my fight or flight is kicked fully into flight mode. You know, there was no fight in me at all in that moment.
It's a really hard job. Respect to anyone who's ever done it, even if the job itself is useless and only makes people's lives worse. You know?
Right, yeah.
If you're in a position of working at call center, Jeff, you're not in a
but
position
you were a legend.
Of having to worry about that.
You did good?
I did good. I did good for a while until I... See, when I'm doing jobs like... The anxiety never comes in right away. It, like, creeps up over time. Because, like, initially I'm just in, like, Hulk mode when I go into a new job, and I'm just like, I need to be awesome at this. But after a few, you know, months, the existential, like, oh, God, is this all there is? Starts to creep in, and that's what tends to screw me over.
Right.
So... But no, definitely like for a while. I only did that job for 6 months.
That's 5 months and 30 days further than I made it.
Yeah. Definitely for the first couple of months, I was doing good.
Yeah. That's funny.
Just because I could read the scripts, right?
Right. Made it further than I made it. All right. What do you got there?
Yeah. All right. In Britain, last-minute amendments to a police and crime bill have essentially criminalized most forms of protesting in a move that critics have blasted as, quote, police state stuff. And for good reason, because criminalizing protests is a big part of the literal definition of a police state. Protesters are banned from blocking traffic, locking themselves onto objects, or just being noisy on pain of up to 51 weeks imprisonment. The bill also grants expanded police powers of search and seizure at any location a protest is, quote, likely to occur, and also aims legal penalties at anyone contributing to or planning a protest, for instance, by encouraging people to show up on social media.
Okay, this is a confusing one. A lot of people are going to see this as being black and white, but here's why this is confusing for me. If I'm driving down the road and some crazy drug addict is in the street, which I've seen naked sometimes. Sure. I actually saw one dude wearing, in the middle of winter, wearing an upside down sleeping bag with eye holes cut out of it, just walking around like some sort of monolith like from ghost. 2001 or something with eye holes. You know, okay, so if this guy is blocking the street, can the cops arrest him?
Well, yeah.
But if he had something that he just said he was standing up for, they couldn't? So this is a difficult gray area, you know. If it's like, if somebody like chains themselves to my mailbox, I'm going to be all like, get this guy out of here. And they're just be all like, well, I don't know, he's opposed to all the lemon trees downtown. I'd be all like, I don't care, get him off my mailbox. You know, it's like, it becomes a very gray area when you try to create specifics about those things. I forget what the third one was, blocking traffic, chaining yourself to stuff. And there was another one too that's also
just
has
being
some,
noisy.
Yeah, being noisy, you know.
Yeah.
It's a prime example.
What I would say is that the legal definition of like protesting in these situations is, I think, not as gray as you might imagine from those examples. Like, it's basically, will this hold up in court to a jury as, yes, this was a legitimate protest? And I think, you know, your lemon tree example, no, that for one thing, it's one guy. And this applies to like large groups of people. But
one guy can be right, though.
Yeah, one guy can be right, but that doesn't mean that what they're doing is a protest.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is it's to reasonable observers in court, can you make the argument this was a protest, this was, I was doing this, you know, to make the world a better place? Or are you going to come across as a crazy person? And yeah, that, like, that's not a perfect system or anything, but like, I think generally that's going to weed out the more obvious examples of guys who are just like cranks destroying stuff.
Right.
I think good faith protest is something that you can recognize, even
and,
if you
and
agree
I agree
with
that. I mean, I of course agree with that on it, but I mean the way the world works is that obviously people aren't born with ethics.
Sure.
And a lot of people aren't being taught them. And so someone's always going to exploit that loophole. You know, one that was interesting to me, like I said, my wife and I were covering some of the laws. One was that I want to say in Oregon now, you can't discriminate against black people for their hairstyles.
Right.
Which, when she read me the law, it didn't specify black people. So that's good. But that was the purpose of the law. And right. I'm just all, okay, so the law is basically saying that you can't discriminate against anybody for hairstyles, which is what the law should say.
Yeah, know? That would be the most reasonable thing.
Right. But again, where's the line there drawn? It's like, you know, if I want to have, you know, 2 foot Liberty spikes coming out of the side of my head,
right.
You know, it's like, I don't know. I don't even understand how any of this works. I'm surprised we didn't all die and burn down years ago.
that's fair. And real good campaign slogan there. I think you've got a winner. I'm surprised we didn't all die and burn down years ago.
Yeah.
But
that's the new slogan.
I know there was a thing a long time. I can't remember what the exact context of it was, but it was basically like, some, I think, pizza chain said that delivery drivers couldn't have beards, and that got successfully, like, changed through lawsuits because it was discriminatory, because there were, like, certain segments of like Sikh populate or just like sort of Middle Eastern populations for whom like they need to grow their beard. Otherwise they're going to have like real gnarly problems with like ingrown hairs and stuff. And it's like, if you're in this racial group, you're much more likely to suffer from that. So it was considered to be discriminatory.
A lot of
and I think,
people.
Yeah, when I hear that, like that, that argument that was made in court, I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, this is something where like saying you can't have this hairstyle is not the same type of burden equally across all racial groups. It's like, it's different. So I suspect the hair argument was made in a similar like spirit, even if I don't understand the specifics
of
it.
And it made pretty good it made pretty good sense. But that beard thing pisses me off, and it's not because I'm a beard guy. But it's because of one conversation I had when I had a beard.
Thank you.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The California Department of Public Health, in partnership with Shasta County community-based organizations, are offering a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Monday, January 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Jr. Center at 1815 Sheridan Street. All vaccine brands will be available, including the bivalent booster. No appointment needed. Get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards. Monday, January 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Martin Luther King Jr. Center at 1815 Sheridan Street in Reading.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Some family member, don't remember who. I'm rocking the beard. Just start.
Right. It's your face.
It's my
face. You want a beard. You become the beard.
No. No. This is my face. If I shave my beard off, that is not my face.
I wouldn't recognize you. I'd be like, who is that guy?
No, this is what I'm naturally meant to look like, is what I'm saying. This is my face. Everybody who has a beard naturally is meant to have a beard.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know, I mean, for you to tell me I have to alter my face in order to go to work, that's like a job. That's like them telling you as a delivery driver, you need to shave your head.
Right.
You know, that's part of your face, you know, that right. You can't tell somebody to get rid of a beard. That is absolutely ridiculous. That's what people look like. So this person's just all, oh, but we can't see your face. I'm all like, this is my face. What are you talking about? For the first time, you were finally seeing me. This is me. So I'm apparently passionate about
Very impassioned about this. No, I love that. And definitely, like, I would extend that to anything where it's like work requiring you to look, take active effort to look substantially different than, like,
yeah.
a lot of jobs, basically, you are putting an enormous target on your back if you're, like, a woman who doesn't wear a ton of makeup, right?
Right, yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing. It's, you know.
Well, I get there's always going to be jobs out there, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm getting a job as a pizza delivery driver. I'm not joining, right. I'm not joining the damn Blue Man group. I don't need to shave off my beard. It is not a part of the job, you know. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I forget what the beginning of this segment was about. Let's move on. And she was basically saying that a lot of people imagine a civil war looking like the armies get together on a field in battle, just like a civil war, and there's armies and logistics sides. And she's saying that's not really the way that it would look. The way that it would look now is much more like the storming of the Capitol. It would look much more like isolated events and pockets throughout everything, trying to dismantle what's above it. It would be much more technological. And what we have right now, if there was just more of it, we would call it a civil war. So And so that's terrifying. But the person, the interviewer put out the question, they're just all, well, you also wrote in your book, like, about people who have come close, because her book was basically saying if our country was looked at like any other country, we would be on the list of being at risk of a civil war because of the way we're.
Which I think is true.
And he said, well, you know, is there any hope for us? And she cited South Africa was basically on the brink of civil war to the point where the government had actually opened fire on its own people and killed some of its own people.
You're talking like apartheid South Africa?
Yeah.
Like
come the end of apartheid. So 90s. Yeah. You know,
90s?
Early 90s.
You're right.
Yeah, I only know because I lived it. But, well, through the TV. And then a new person was elected in, and, you know, it just started to flow, and it really brought itself back from that. So I found that somewhat redeeming and calming.
Well, the new person was Nelson Mandela, right? I mean, it's
no.
Because of
No. There was a new person, and then Mandela.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was a situation where you got a more moderate person who was willing to, like...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
And then later, like, the African majority gained power.
Well, I think, basically, this guy got into office... backed all this, said we're doing this, at which point the government was dismantled and put back together. He was no longer in office, and Mandela was voted in because their entire government was kind of shifting in that situation, you know?
So, yeah, that makes sense.
But that's to say that there was an entire government shift, so there was a change.
Right,
so maybe we'd have to see that too, so I don't know. That's scary.
It's difficult to imagine, like... I mean, there's no shortage of people who, like, want the way that the government works to change. But, like, even if, like, some kind of constitutional reformer, even if, like, let's say the Republicans were suddenly their entire platform was, like, we need to change completely how our government works. We need to, you know, change the Constitution completely, change the branches of government completely, reorganize it. And they took, you know, all three branches of government. I still don't think they could actually do that. Like,
I don't see what you change.
Much, like, inertia and bureaucratic, like.
Right. I mean, theirs had to change because it was kind of like after our Civil War, some things had to change because, you know, black
I guess
people
that's
are
what it is.
Allowed
I guess.
To vote. That's the same thing that happened down there, you know. Although,
I guess if the alternative is all-out warfare, then, yeah, you find a way.
But. Right, yeah. Yeah, because, like, even if I think of some of the most downtrodden people in this country, what is the most endangered, marginalized group in this country?
Native Americans, maybe? I would say Native Americans.
Then I would ask Native Americans, is the current situation in this country worthy of going to war over?
I mean, I guess that's a weird example because a lot of Native Americans live in sort of quasi their own countries anyway, and I'm sure would like nothing better than to have their own country.
Okay, then we'll take the one that they hit the most. I would ask black people, you know, and I would ask white people who feel that they're rights and powers are being taken away from them. I'll ask both of those groups, is the current situation worthy? Is the life that you are currently living so bad that you think we should go to war over it? Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah. There are going to be some people who say absolutely yes, because people's lives are different. And some people are going to have that bad of a life where they're going to say, hell yeah. And I understand that. But I mean, on the whole.
I think definitely most people are going to answer that no. Like.
Right. Yes. So I'm not trying to belittle the offliers who basically, you know, can't get a break and they're dying here. They're dying. You know?
Right. Well, there was that guy at what was it? The Charlie Kirk Turning Point rally. It was like, when do we get to use guns?
Oh yeah, I just heard that.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that. I just heard it. I want to say a day or two ago.
Right. Yeah. So I think that guy's all for it. But no, I think most people are like. Are not anywhere near the point of, like, wanting this to be resolved violently.
Yeah. They sure talk like they do.
I know. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene does. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene would pick up a rifle.
I don't. I think she'd tell somebody else to.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
I think she's crazy. But.
Well, we're coming up on the end here. I wrote this down. I don't know if we covered enough of it here, but I was thinking for a conversation for a future show. I would like to have a conversation on what exactly are we so polarized about? Because really, if you try to list it, it seems like a pretty short list. Yet
no,
everybody
talks
about it constantly everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I think a lot of political issues, but,
I think a lot of them can be boiled down to one or two, but let's see. We'll talk about it next time. Maybe we'll each bring a couple of examples and we'll talk about it then. But until then, you're listening to Radio Wasteland and...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.